The Freightliner Cascadia with SCR Blue Tech technology has been customer tested and customer approved. Visit FreightlinerTrucks.com to see real customer videos.
It's a Midnight Radio Network all across the USA, 800-288-9227, and Ask the Law. Get your question in for retired senior trooper Monty Dial at 800-288-9227. That's 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, June 7, 2010. Senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, retired now, is... And we're going to ask you about retirement. You actually took a vacation.
Yes.
A vacation from retirement?
That's amazing. Yes. Well, here's a guy who's been working since he retired, probably working a little bit harder now.
Yes.
But we want to let you know that all the information and answers are up to date as of today, Monday, June 7, 2010, can change without notice. We want to thank our friends over at Old Blue USA for making this possible. Go to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime, 24/7, and submit your CMV questions. Your CMV questions are welcome here. CSA 2010, you got a question about hours of service, got a question about placarding or anything else, CMV questions, 800-288-9227. You went on a road trip. You went to Canada, did I hear right?
Northern California.
Northern California, oh. Did you say, you must have said Ontario, and I was thinking Ontario, Canada. Northern California, you had a good time, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very good time.
Well, I heard you say wine country, and I was thinking, I didn't know they had wine country in Canada. I get my hearing check during the break. I've never been out to the wine country of California. I've been out to California several times, but never in the wine country.
I am not a person that likes to drink wine.
I'm not either.
My wife does.
Yeah.
And so we went out there in 2008. Didn't get to spend near as much time there north of San Francisco, so we decided we'd go back again and hit the wineries that we missed.
It's beautiful out there near San Francisco in that area. I know
it is
great. It
is very, very, very beautiful area.
Yeah.
When we left, or when we got there and when we left, temperature was in the 50s.
Right.
One day, I think it managed to get up into the lower 80s.
Hmm.
But the rest of the time, my wife and I walked around with jackets on.
Wow, that's great. Love it, love it. Yeah, I remember going to, in fact, Super Rigs is coming up. Going to be at Shell Rotel Super Rigs this week, and we'll be in Lexington, Virginia. And a couple of years ago, we were in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Well, R.J. Taylor told me, because I had always thought, well, most of California is sunny and mild, sometimes warm. But in June, certainly more mild. And RJ had told me, no. Sacramento is actually the hot spot. It's usually hotter in Sacramento.
Yes.
I landed because our plane was down here at DFW, so they had to fly me into San Francisco. They sent a car for me in San Francisco. When we landed, it was like 52, 55
yeah.
degrees
right.
in San
right.
Francisco. And then we drove
yes.
to Sacramento, record heat that year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We got there it was midnight when I got there, and it was still 90 degrees. The next few days was well above 100, 100, 109, 110 on the blacktop at the Sacramento 49er where we had Super Rigs that year. Someone measured with one of these laser thermometers, 120 degrees on the blacktop. Yeah.
In fact, when we were watching the news when we got back to Oakland on Saturday night, getting ready to fly out Sunday, watching the news, they were still skiing in Reno.
Yeah. Wow. Still skiing.
Still skiing in Reno.
That's awesome.
They had so much snow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that since you're retired, you're actually taking a little time for yourself. You worked hard, and we appreciate all the work you've done over the years on this program as well. Let's get back to a question here, and I want to talk more about CDSA Road Check 2010. It is here. It's this week. And what to expect, drivers, and also Trooper Dial's experience over the years. 800-288-9227.
And let's talk to Bud in Fort Worth, Texas. Bud, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, how you guys doing? I had a question for the officer. Is it, in the state of Texas, is it not illegal to proceed in a turning lane more than one up to the next intersection? And you can't drive in a turning lane three or four intersections trying to get to a left-hand turn signal. That is illegal, isn't it?
Now, what do you mean driving?
Moving forward in a central turning lane trying to get to a left-hand turn signal three blocks up.
Multiple lane situation where the turning lane is one of those common turning lanes. In other words, it's just a lane in the center, but it is dedicated for turning lanes in each direction.
No, you can sit there and use it if it's, you know, if you're there to make a turn.
Right. But going through past intersection you can't do that.
Right.
In other words, if you're sitting in traffic and the traffic's not moving and you're back three blocks away from the light and you see a left-hand turn signal go on, it's illegal to pull in the turning lane and drive to get that left-hand turn signal. Isn't that correct?
No. If it's a situation where you have intersections, you drive a city block, and there's an intersection.
There were four intersections between this person and the turning signal.
So they were going to go four blocks while staying in that turning lane.
You can't do that.
Well, she did it. I got stuck with the bill.
Oh, man.
State Farm paid her little $200 claim off and stuck me with the rest of it.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm serious. I've got to sue State Farm. My lawyer tells me I got to sue State Farm for failure to perform in a fiduciary relationship to me, their client.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. No. Wow. No. Like I say, if it's a situation where there's a turn lane and you're turning at that next intersection,
that's one thing.
You can move over and run that turn lane to the next intersection, but to go multiple intersections.
Illegal. Well, I thought I was right. So that since I taught drivers ed for 12 years, I didn't think I'd lost mine completely.
Yeah. Wow. We thank you for that, Bud. Thank you, and glad we got an answer to you. I've seen that before. There's a stretch of highway, in fact, a Jacksboro Highway there in Wichita Falls, where that has happened several times, and people will just go straight through that turning, stay on the turning lane for three, four blocks.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Can't do that.
All right. Let's talk about Road Check 2010. Road Check 2010 is here. This is a joint effort. It's all across North America, Mexico, the United States,
and Canada.
All right. Let me ask you, do you know anything about the information that is collected? Certainly, I guess we have a probably more fluent relationship or exchange of information with Canada. What about some of the things that are found? Is that information available, whether it's Canada or Mexico, from the other countries? Is there any international, I know it's an international effort, but is there any international exchange of information since we do have NAFTA in place, since we do have drivers from those countries that are coming into the United States?
I'm pretty sure that the information is there where they will take and break it. You know, this is what happened in Canada, this is what happened in the United States, and this is what happened in Mexico.
Right.
But CVSA, because they represent all three, they try to present the data as all three countries into one single form.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they actually will release information as to, okay, this is what happened in Canada, this is what happened in the United States, and this is what happened in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have to rely on each individual entity or each individual country to provide their own data for just as what happens in their country.
Right. Over the years, typically, what is the top violation? Is it an equipment violation?
Yes.
That's what's going on, essentially. Is that necessarily the target in with CVSA as far as road check, the annual road check is concerned? Is that primarily their concern? Is it the substandard equipment, or is it really a combination of both the driver behaviors and factors and the equipment?
It's a combination of both. When I was working and doing road check, we usually had two targets,
right,
that we looked at. One was the seatbelt.
Right.
The next one was hazardous materials.
Mm-hmm.
If you were working one of the scale facilities and a driver came in and you could tell that he didn't have his seatbelt on, that you could pretty much count that vehicle was going to get in a level one inspection.
Right.
Likewise, if a vehicle came through with placards on, that vehicle was going to be targeted for an inspection. Now, the rest of it, it was just, okay, somebody down here needs a truck. You happen to be the next one. Get in line.
Right. Yeah.
But they did, and I'm pretty sure that the same thing is going to happen again this year.
Yeah.
Is if a driver comes in through the scale facility, doesn't have a seatbelt on, I don't care if he took it off before he got there.
Right.
If by the time he gets up to the scales, if the seatbelt's not on, he's going to be pulled aside for an inspection. Same thing is going to be for the placards.
Yeah. All right. More of what to expect with Road Check coming up on Ask the Law, and more of your calls if you want to get on board. In fact, Ask the Law, you can get on board right now
at 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Hurley.
Retired Senior Trooper Money Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, is here. And courtesy of Old Blue USA, we want to thank them for making this possible. All the information and answers are up to date as of today, Monday, June 7, 2010. Can change without notice. All the information, by the way, the statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org. And submit your CMV questions anytime. Click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law. And in fact, we'll get to some questions right now by phone, 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Martin. Martin, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, I don't talk about much. I'm a...
Hold on there. Hold on there, Martin. We're going to put you back on hold. Maybe we can get a better signal from you in just a few minutes. I couldn't tell what he was going to ask. But we'll go to another caller, 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to John. John, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network. Welcome. Hi. You're on Ask the Law.
Yeah, I've got a question. When y'all are having the DOT checks, these scale houses, like a lot of times out on Interstate 20 there outside of Dallas, trucks will be lined up out onto the interstate. Now, I was always under the impression that, you know, it wasn't a good thing to stop in the middle of the interstate. And I've actually run the scales a couple of times, you know, when they were open, because of the fact that there were trucks lined up on the interstate, and I wasn't going to stop on the road. And I was just wondering if that's a good thing to do, a bad thing to do. I mean, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, John, one of the things that they do is when road check happens, they have someone that sits there on the switch, and they are told that once the trucks start lining up back to where any portion of the last truck is on the interstate, he is supposed to turn that light switch off and allow the traffic to continue on. Once the trucks already have taken the exit, once they get those all worked out, or there is no longer trucks backed out onto the interstate, then they'll turn the switch back on again.
In the event that he came upon that situation and someone had not flipped that switch and it was still, he was still getting that indicator to pull in, but traffic was backed up to the freeway, what would your advice be to him at that point?
My advice to him is go ahead and take the exit, because what will happen is if anything ever happens, if you're the last truck and your back end is stuck out and somebody comes along and hits the back end of it, the state is liable.
Okay. Now, last year when they had the check going on, I actually run the scale out there on Interstate 20. And, you know, I heard them talking on the CB, you know, 10 miles before I got there. Hey, they're backed up out on the highway. They're backed up out on the highway. And I said, you know, and I was telling them on the radio. I said, look here, if they're backed up out on the highway, I am not stopping. And I drove right by them. And I figured, you know, he can come out of the scales, pull me over on the side of the road, and I would be more than happy to, you know, do a DOT check that away. But, you know, I used to pull hazardous material, you know, back in the day, and I was always told, don't stop in the highway. So, you know, I'm just not going to stop. I mean, you know, I don't mind doing the DOT checks. I mean, I even volunteer for quite a bit of them just to keep my DOT rating down. But, you know, I can't see stopping in the middle of the highway, you know, like that unless they, you know, we're going to have somebody out there watching the traffic.
Well, like I said, during road check, they typically, those 3 days, they will have someone there. If it's not during road check, here again, everyone in Texas is told.
Okay, we're back in just a moment. Stand by. More Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and it's the law. 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. You got a question about hours of service, CSA 2010, and Road Check 2010, CVSA Road Check 2010. Don't confuse the two. All right, but they actually do have, there are one can lead to a detrimental situation, can be detrimental for some drivers under the other. I think about this pre-employment screening program and CSA 2010, and I went in fact, I was thinking of you, Trooper Dial. We want to remind you that this is Ask the Law for Monday, June 7th, 2010. All the information and answers can change without notice. They are up to date as of today. And we want to also let you know, anybody that makes an opinion or any statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org. AskTheLaw.org. Submit your questions there anytime. 800-288-9227. All right. Comprehensive Safety Analysis, CSA 2010. For CMV drivers. This was updated as of April this year, so it's not that old. There is no new information. They claim here at CSA2010.com, the website, that they upgrade this or update this as needed. But there are some Q&As or FAQs, I should say, surrounding CSA 2010. And it's interesting that some of this information, of course, like what it means to drivers, if you want to go to the website, you can find out more. Also, fmcsa.com or .org, rather, fmcsa.dot.gov. Let me restate that. fmcsa.dot.gov is the main FMCSA website. But these FAQs that came up, some of them, I guess, were a little surprising to me. Does CSA 2010 give FMCSA the authority to put drivers out of work? The answer is
no.
No. CSA 2010 does not give the agency the authority to remove drivers from their jobs. A change of that magnitude would require rulemaking, and no such effort is underway.
Correct.
That's probably one of the most common misnomers. I knew the answer to that question when I read these FAQs, but that's probably one of the most common misnomers that we're hearing now, either by email, questions on this program, is that drivers believe that they are going to be removed from their jobs.
Right. Well, one of the things, and I think this was something that we talked about early on into it, in that drivers were getting the points that is going to be assessed against their driver's license.
Right, and that's the next FAQ.
And confused with the score that a driver is going to get under CSA 2010.
Right.
Each one of the violations, and I say violations, to distinguish between a warning and a citation, there is no difference. If it shows up on a roadside inspection as a violation, then there is a point value that that violation carries.
Right.
But what drivers need to understand is that point does not reference or does not make a difference between the score, or is not going to play into a point total that the driver is going to have under the driver's license.
Right.
Only citations will affect the score on the driver's driving record.
Okay.
A score will be assessed based upon the violations that appear on a roadside inspection. Now, one of the things that drivers need to understand, there's seven basics that are going to be used to determine a driver's score.
Right.
Of those seven basics, four of them are tied to the driver. So there's going to be a lot of emphasis put on the driver himself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the seven basics is load securement. One of the seven basics is equipment. And one of the seven basics is crashes. So you've got three of them that are going to be load securement, equipment, and crashes. The other four are all tied to the driver. So drivers need to understand there's going to be a lot of emphasis put on the driver when it comes time to determining what his score is.
Right, right. So that'll be non-equipment related, driver-only related factors.
Correct, correct.
And we'll bring up some of those basics here in just a moment and kind of go through them quickly. But the next FAQ is, does CSA 2010 give the FMCSA the authority and processes to rate drivers and revoke their CDLs? Again, the answer is
no. What's going to happen is once a driver goes through, and here again, drivers, make sure you understand the data is going to be generated strictly off of a DOT roadside inspection.
Right.
If a city police officer stops you and writes you a ticket, if a county deputy stops and writes you a ticket, or if a state trooper stops and writes you a ticket, and it was not done in conjunction with a roadside inspection,
mm-hmm.
it will not affect your CSA 2010 data score.
Right. Do tickets or warnings that drivers receive while operating their personal vehicles impact their new safety measurement system? No.
No. Here again, it has to be a DOT roadside inspection.
Right. Does the safety measurement system hold carriers responsible for drivers' errors such as speeding? And we've already talked about this, and the answer is yes.
Yes. One of the things that, and I don't know if you've had a chance to read Dave Osecki's letter
right.
that he sent to Administrator Farrell. Administrator Farrell addressed a letter back to David Osecki with ATA,
mm-hmm.
and there were several things that he wanted to address. One had to do with the crashes. One had to do with the speeding. And FMCSA is currently with the four pilot states that initially started this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through and making some changes. And one of them is FMCSA is creating a box. And I know, and I'll be the first right here to sit there and tell you, I have been guilty of this. During the holidays, they wanted, the state of Texas wanted every black and white out working speed enforcement.
Right.
Well, what I would do is I would go out and find a truck that would be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles over the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit there and stop them, write the driver a warning,
mm-hmm.
but I would do a level 2 inspection.
Mm-hmm.
I had no intentions of ever writing that driver a speeding citation. But under CSA 2010, that will now affect the driver, and
right.
it will affect the carrier. So FMCSA has told ATA, we're going to create a box. And the boxes are going to be 1 to 5, 6 to 10, and over 10. That way, if a driver is stopped and a warning is issued, but it's in that 1 to 5 or 6 to 10 or over 10,
mm-hmm.
then FMCSA intends on adding a less severe score
right.
to that driver
right.
because of the fact that he wasn't, you know, based upon the speed, it wasn't near as fast as just a regular speeding warning.
Right.
Another thing that they're doing is under the current CVSA proposal, the crash data is going to be based upon the number of power units. Well, you take somebody that has a whole bunch of power units, they're going to be at a disadvantage because of the fact that their exposure is a lot more
right.
than a vehicle, than a company that has very few.
In fact, Rob Abbott of the ATA pointed this out recently when he spoke back in April.
And nowhere in there is mileage ever discussed.
Right.
So
it's simply the number of tractors.
Correct. So FMCSA, and one of the things that they're going to do is look at possibly figuring mileage in there somewhere.
Right.
They haven't decided yet where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Another thing is that Administrator Farrell pointed out was right now statistics have shown that 3/4 of all the crashes drivers are involved with, truck drivers are involved with,
mm-hmm.
it's usually the other vehicle's fault.
Right.
One of the things that they're wanting to do is allow the trucking companies that are involved in a crash that will allow them to take and address a letter to FMCSA,
mm-hmm.
submit a police report,
mm-hmm.
and if they, after reviewing this data, if they determine that it was the other vehicle's fault,
right.
then that crash is not going to count against the motor carrier.
We talked about this recently on the program because those at-fault numbers are important.
Correct. And so, FMCSA still wants to take and look at it.
Right.
Of course, one of the things is when a shipper or an insurance company or the general public wants to take and look at this carrier's safety
mm-hmm.
Management information system, one of the things that you will not find on that is crashes.
Right.
You'll find everything else, but crashes are not there.
Right, right.
And so this is one of the things that Administrator Farrell said that they want to do is they want to take and continue to look at the data.
Right.
But the data will not be there because through their own studies,
right.
they have found vehicles that are involved in crashes, even though it was not their fault, they can still establish a pattern there, and that's one of the things that they're looking for.
More Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's to Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
Thanks to our friends at Old Blue USA. Go to askthelaw.org for more and CSA2010.com for more as well on CSA2010. But for road check, just make sure you got your stuff together. Essentially, I guess, would be the advice. Make sure your logbooks are up to date and your equipment is right.
Take the time and inspect your truck. You should be doing it anyway.
Yes.
But be more mindful. Take a little bit extra time.
Yeah.
And it'll go a long way in getting you down the road.
All right. We'll see you next month. Thank you, Trooper Dial. Yes. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.